So up first, we have an interview with Ruth Sinchina about the issue of gun violence. Once again, unfortunately, in the news following the murder of more than 50 individuals in Las Vegas. Ruth represents every town for gun safety. This is Mark Dunley, and we're talking with Ruth Sinchina, who's with Every Town for Gun Safety. Obviously, gun issues have been in the news once again, unfortunately, because of the massacre in Las Vegas. But Ruth, maybe you could just give us a little background about, what is Every Town for Gun Safety, and why have you gotten involved with it?
Okay. Well, Every Town is a national organization that is seeking to introduce what we refer to as common sense gun legislation and common sense gun policy in the United States. It is operates in every state in the country, and it has several different facets to it. We work on the legislative and policy level. We also have grassroots volunteers. We work with what we call survivors, where people have been personally affected by gun violence. And I myself identify as a survivor. I lost my nephew to gun violence approximately 3 years ago. It will be 3 years in December. So as a result of that, have become an activist in this movement to try to reduce gun violence in the United States. Every town advocates for what we call common sense gun common sense solutions to gun violence. We talk about gun violence prevention. We generally try to avoid using the phrase gun control, even though that is the commonplace phrase that's generally used when talking about trying to restrict access to weapons in our country, primarily because it's a word that it's a phrase that has become very loaded with a lot of negative connotations. So what we're trying to advocate is gun sense. We try to take a pragmatic, middle-of-the-road approach to gun policy. We recognize that, you know, guns are a part of American life that, you know, and we're not seeking to take away everybody's guns, contrary to popular, often stated, viewpoint by certain segments of society. But we do believe that there should be common sense restrictions on access to guns. And we think that most Americans actually agree with us on that.
Now, obviously, the media, pays a lot of attention, when you have 50 people plus, mm-hmm. Massacred. But I guess the reality is that far more people are just killed on a regular, day-to-day by gun violence, one or two people at a time.
Yes, that's true. It's a little bit of a paradox because on the one hand, we can say that mass shootings have increased to the point where there's actually, believe it or not, it's estimated that there's one per day in this country. It has gotten to be so commonplace that it doesn't even make the national news most of the time anymore, unless it's like 50 people, as happened in Las Vegas. But on the other hand, the other side of the coin is that less than 10% of gun violence victims on an annual basis are actually killed in mass shootings. The vast majority are killed in street shootings. Suicide, we do consider gun by suicide. We do include that in gun violence statistics. So suicide is also another facet of this. But in terms of homicide and gun shootings that are perpetrated by one person against the other, the vast majority of victims in this country are young African-American and Latino men. And I think that's something that really needs to be recognized while we obviously mourn and are horrified by what happened in Las Vegas and Newtown. We also have to recognize the toll that this is taking in many urban areas in our country, just a constant attrition of young men.
What's sort of the relationship between gun violence and, we've been doing a lot this week on domestic violence. How do those two link together?
Well, that is something that we definitely want to highlight this month, since it is National Gun Violence or National Domestic Violence Awareness Week. And that is that, the likelihood of, domestic violence, unfortunately, is also very much a reality in our country, and often guns are involved, and the odds of a domestic violence incident becoming fatal are vastly ramped up if there's a gun involved. And so that is another issue that we really want to highlight. One of the things that Everytown is, one of the pieces of legislation that Everytown is working on in several states throughout the country is what's called a domestic violence restraining order, which would allow either a citizen or the police to petition a judge to issue a temporary restraining order so that the police could go in and temporarily remove guns from somebody who has, for whom there is viable cause. If this person has a history, a documented history of domestic violence, if they have threatened somebody recently, the restraining order would allow the guns to be removed temporarily while the police had time to further investigate the situation and decide if, you know, and take steps from there. It we feel that this would save lives.
So what are some of the common sense steps that could be taken to try to reduce the level of gun violence in the United States?
Well, I think one of the things that we are really pushing for is what we call universal background checks. And a lot of people may remember back in the 90s, there was a background check bill passed, known as the Brady Bill. But unfortunately, the Brady Bill had a whole lot of loopholes in it. And some of those loopholes have really only come to light as the decades have passed. And one of the major loopholes right now that we can identify right now is that when the Brady Bill passed, the internet was pretty much in its infancy. It was not in common use. And so nobody really dreamed of the fact that people might be buying guns on the internet. But in reality, that is the case today. My understanding is something like 40% of guns purchased today are purchased through internet sales. And that can often be a way to circumvent background checks so that people who perhaps have felony convictions on their records and couldn't pass a background check otherwise are able to do so through internet sales. It's also makes it much more easy to enact what we call a straw purchase, which is when somebody buys a gun on behalf of somebody. You know, you have one person who would not pass the background check, say, because of a felony conviction. They convince somebody else to make the purchase for them, pretending that it's for themselves, which is illegal, and then actually turn it over to the first party. So that's what's known as a straw purchase. And the internet makes that so much more easier. So that is one of the holes we would like to plug with a universal background check. There's several other aspects to it. For instance, if the federal government doesn't get back to when a background check is initiated, if the information is not returned back within 3 days, the gun seller can then go ahead and make that sale, even though the background check has not been completed. That's something, that's a stipulation that was written into the law. And that is, in fact, what happened in the case of the Charleston, the young man who was convicted of murdering so many people in Charleston several years ago. He actually had some pending charges. And if the background check had information had gone through within 3 days, he would have been denied the purchase of that gun. But because the information did not come back within 3 days, he was able to purchase it legally and then go on to take the lives of, you know, quite a few innocent people.
What are some of the issues where the American public actually do seem to be overwhelmingly in support, but yet, you know, we can't get Congress or the states, I guess, to stand up to the NRA? I mean, it seems, for instance, that most Americans do think that we should not be selling, you know, automatic assault weapons.
Yes, this is true. I mean, when polls are done sort of on the specifics, like should assault weapons be easy to purchase legally or universal background checks a good thing, most Americans do, answer affirmatively that they think, you know, background checks are a good idea, that assault weapon sales should be limited. But on the political level, unfortunately, I mean, I think it has to be said that our political system is really held hostage by the NRA on this issue because they are huge donors, particularly on the federal level. I would say, as far as I'm aware, just about every member of the Republican Party that serves in Congress receives money from the NRA. That's also true on state levels. And they have huge sway. And whenever any attempt is made to introduce even the most modest reform on this issue, they put up roadblocks. And unfortunately, as of today, they've been relatively successful. However, we are continuing to fight that, and we feel that you know, it's a long battle, and it's not going to be won overnight. But you know, we do believe that with incremental continuing to work on this issue doggedly, we will see change, incremental change that will hopefully eventually lead to really meaningful change over the long haul.
One issue that has surprised me, I guess, is that the federal government, you know, does prevent it. The Center for Disease Control and others. Not to do research into gun violence. Why has that been blocked, and you know, are there efforts to overturn that?
Well, there's something known as the Dickey Amendment that was passed back in the 90s, the way I understand it is that the CDC came out with a piece of research back in the 90s that showed that if homes that had guns in them, you know, legally owned guns, had a much higher rate of both homicide and suicide than, you know, members of those households had much greater rates of homicide and suicide than households where there were no guns. The NRA took umbrage at this, and they put a lot of pressure on Congress to put pressure on the CDC. So this amendment called the Dickey Amendment was introduced and passed, which basically stated that the CDC was not allowed. Congress would give no money to the CDC for any studies that promoted gun control. So this was on the CDC level, this was interpreted to mean any gun research should shut down. That if you try to engage in gun research, your career at the CDC was going to go nowhere. And basically, it was tantamount to a pretty much a total ban. So what we are really striving for at this point is to see some more gun search being done on the state level. The state of California actually has created a gun violence research institute at UC Davis, and we are encouraging New York State government to do the same. There is actually a bill that's been introduced in the state legislature to create a New York State gun violence research that would be connected to the SUNY system. That's still in a pretty early stage. But it may come up again in the legislature this year, so we'd encourage people to look out for that and to, you know, promote that, the passage of that.
Now, when I drive around, particularly in rural Rensselaer County, you certainly see, you know, a number of signs saying repeal the SAFE Act. What's your group's, you know, feeling about the SAFE Act? And also, we only got about 2 minutes. What are some of the other issues you hope the state legislature might take a look at in next year?
Well, you know, the SAFE Act is not a perfect bill. I think most people agree with that. And it was passed in a somewhat hurried fashion, but overall we feel that it has promoted life-saving lives. You know, New York State has, I think, the fourth lowest rate of gun violence in the country, and I think to some degree that can be attributed to the SAFE Act. So I think, you know, we really have to look at the SAFE Act on balance. I know a lot of people complain about it because there's a lot of bureaucracy involved with purchasing a gun. But, you know, if that saves a life, then maybe you should consider that, you know, it's worth spending that extra time filling out the paperwork. There are several issues on the legislative agenda that we're promoting this year, and we hope to have a lobby day. We had a lobby day at the legislature last spring, and we hope to do so again. So we hope your listeners will consider joining us this year.
Okay. And if people want to get more information about your organization, how best can they do that?
They can go online and look up Everytown for Gun Safety. There is a very full and informative website there that has lots of information about the organization, as well as a lot of research and various articles about, you know, gun safety. And there's a place where you can sign up. And once you do, somebody from our organization will be contacting you soon and letting you know how you can get connect with people on the local level.
So we've been talking with Ruth Cinchina, who is with Everytown for Gun Safety, and this is Mark Dunley.